Welcome to EMP. Today's reading will be from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Let's pray before we go into God's Word. Father, we thank you for this morning that we could just be in your presence, that we could be at your feet and hear what you have to say to us. So Father, we just pray for your word this morning that it would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the last time I've been sharing on the book of Acts, specifically on prayer. And the last time I was looking at my notes, and the last time I shared about the intersection of lives that occurred between Tabitha and Peter. And so we've been looking at the book of Acts, and in this part we've been seeing just the unfolding of God's work through Peter's life and in Peter's life. And so we reach to this place in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, that this is really a two-part devotion. And so part one of this devotion is I've titled it, The Role of Prayer in Tearing Down Walls of Hostility. And so just a little backstory before I read Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8, is that the story of Cornelius and Peter is a defining moment in the early church. That the message of Jesus had been limited up to this point to the Jews and synagogues mostly, which is where you would find most of the Jews. And so the way the gospel was being preached, it was mostly just limited to Jews and in the synagogue. So it wasn't necessarily to all people, but very limited to Jews and the synagogues. And so God would need to tear down the damaging and hindering perspectives that still were in the lives of his disciples. So from a theological perspective, from my observation, is that Jews still saw Gentiles as unclean, as part two really looks at that. So Jews, from a theological perspective, Jews still saw Gentiles as being unclean. And the early church had yet to capture God's heart for all people. So Peter and the disciples, their view of still of Gentiles versus they are unclean, they are an unclean people. From a personal perspective, from a cultural perspective, they went on their own. Their heart was for their own people. Okay, so the disciples, their natural reaction was, let's go for our people, for the Jews. So that was from their own personal perspective. From a cultural perspective, there was animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles, especially a Roman Gentile. A Roman Gentile was seen in a negative perspective, and one of the reasons being that at that time that the Jews were under Roman rule. So you could imagine is like their dislikeness, or for some even hatred towards the Roman Gentiles was, one, they're Gentile and they're Romans and we are under their rule. And so there was already a hostility from a theological perspective as viewing Gentiles unclean, and even from a cultural perspective, you can say. So we first begin this story here with the life of Cornelius. So part two, when I look at part two of this story, we'll look more at the work of God in Peter's life, which I think was the hardest work that had to be done. But this story really begins with Cornelius. So I want to read from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. And I share that as a backdrop as we read this passage. So Acts chapter 10, starting with verse 1, it says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. And so, looking at this passage, we see that we see the introduction into this story. We're introduced into this man named Cornelius that is a Roman centurion, which meant that a centurion during that time meant that he was a commander of around 100 people. And so centurions were known to be very well paid, so he would have been socially and prominently wealthy, as you can see that he had various soldiers. He had soldiers under his command, which is why he was able to gather his servants and soldiers and give them orders to go find Peter. And so here the passage describes Cornelius as a God-fearer, okay? Essentially, a God-fearer at that time was known as a Gentile who worshipped Israel's God and was in some way attached to a synagogue, but had not submitted to Jewish conversion rites. So maybe for him, even though he went to the synagogue, he went to the hours of prayer, he didn't really submit to the full conversion rites. So maybe he wasn't even circumcised according to the law in that way. And so he followed two of the primary expressions of Jewish faith. And the two of those things are prayer and almsgiving. So we see prayer, the time in which the vision occurred is the ninth hour, which lets us know that perhaps he was accustomed to maintaining the Jewish set hour of prayer. Ninth hour meaning around 3 p.m. So essentially the Jews had set times of prayer in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And so we see Cornelius had this practice in his life. And so we see that the scripture describes it at the ninth hour. So he was probably at around 3 p.m. doing what he is normally doing as part of his life. He was in prayer, and that's when the vision occurred. And he was known as someone that was giving alms to the poor. He was charitable to the Jewish people. And so you could say in this case that Cornelius is a rarity. He's not a description of every Roman centurion that is a God-fearer, that loves the Jews, and that gives alms. No, Cornelius here is more than anything. He's a rarity. Like I said, who were the Romans in the eyes of the Jews? They were the oppressors. They had, and Jewish influence practiced the faith of the oppressed. And so I can imagine the confliction Cornelius must wrestle through within himself, that him being a Roman soldier, yet at the same time being in the place of an oppressor, yet at the same time having the faith of those he is oppressing in the same time. So you could imagine the tension that he is wrestling through within himself. And so we see here that prayer was a continual part of Cornelius's life. And so as he observed the Jewish hour of prayer, he receives a vision. And in the vision, he has a conversation with an angel, and the angel does two things. He affirms his life of prayer and acts of charity, and he gives him instruction as to what to do. So the angel, he's in the middle of prayer, an angel appears to him in a vision, and that angel affirms to him his life of prayer and acts of charity. As it says the angel says that your acts of charity have come to the Lord as a memorial service. And so he gives in, and the next thing the angel does is that he gives instruction as to what to do. But here concerning the instruction is that there's really no reason to the instruction, just simply instructions. He says, send some essentially, go find a man named Simon Peter who's with another guy named Simon who lives by the sea. That's it. There's no other instruction. There's no more a breakdown of the plan of what God is going to do. It's simply do this and that's it. But what we see at the end of that verse is simply, it says, and I'll read it again. It says, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to Joppa, he sent them to Joppa. So the angel gives them instructions. The instructions are not clear, but he obeys regardless. So what does this now mean for our lives? And so this for me has been, I would say, one of the most, having gone through this book of Acts and examining every prayer moment that has occurred up to this moment, this for me, this story that we have here of Cornelius, and really it's this story of Cornelius is incomplete with the story of Peter that's going to occur in the life of Peter. But this for me has been, I think, one of the biggest principles in my life when I've dealt with hostility in my life, when I've dealt with circumstances in my life where I cannot arrive to that place on my own and I need prayer to get me to that place. So the question that I ask is, why does prayer matter? Prayer matters because prayer is what positions us to receive and hear from God. Every time we go to prayer, we are in a place to receive and to hear from God. God then chooses how and when he reveals himself to us. And this is often an area of surrender that needs to occur in our lives, is an expectation of how and when are often stumbling blocks in our lives that discourage us from continually praying. What do I mean by that? Is that unless we're in a position to receive, and prayer is what positions us to receive and to hear from God, then we're not going to be able to hear from God. And especially if we come in with the expectation of, God, this is how I want you to speak, and this is the way you're going to speak. And when he doesn't show up in that way, we're often discouraged. What I mean by that is, like, let's say, for example, you're like, okay, God, I'm going to show up to EMP for the next week. And if you don't speak to me right there and then this week, God, then I'm going to stop praying now. Why? And let's say he doesn't speak to you that week. And because you've put already a limitation on God, this is how you're going to speak. And if you don't speak to this, then my prayer life is now attached to that. And I think sometimes that's a stumbling block when we're cultivating our prayer lives, is that we put these, I would say almost these requirements of God, if I'm going to pray, then you better show up. And if you show up, I'm expect you better speak to me clearly. There better be a burning bush just like Moses, or there better be a voice that speaks to me. And if you don't show up in that way, we don't necessarily say that, but it operates in our lives sometimes that when God doesn't show up in the way we want him to show up, we begin to dismiss him and we start removing ourselves from the one place that positions us to receive and hear from God. And so why does prayer matter? I'll say it again, is because prayer positions us to receive and to hear from God. And every time we go to pray, we are in a place to receive and to hear from God. Next is his guidance and his instruction. I think we could all relate sometimes to Cornelius. Sometimes God's instructions and guidance for our lives is complete. He says, do A, B, and C. Sometimes it's just as confusing as what Cornelius received. Just instructions, but nothing else. And I think sometimes that's one of our biggest struggles as well, is that sometimes I think we prefer, God, give me the complete detail of what you're wanting me to do and how it's going to look and what the outcome is. But sometimes I think God operates on just simply us taking the first step. And that's what we see in the life of Cornelius, is Cornelius was simply told, there's a man named Peter. He's staying with a guy named Simon by the sea. Go find him. That's it. Nothing else to that instruction, just simply that. And sometimes our obedience is limited and hindered because we're not willing to move and obey unless we receive the full picture sometimes in our lives. But we see here in the life of Cornelius that Cornelius, still in that place of obedience, obeyed even though he was limited to what God had told him to do. Okay, and so that's sometimes a hindrance in our lives. And so our response of when our hearts are wrestling to obey, we should take that time to reflect on us. Why is it hard for us to obey you, God? Why is it hard for me to obey you when I don't have the complete instruction, or when I don't have the full picture and you've just given me a little bit? Why do I find it hard to take that first step? And I think we'll realize that it is a wonderful teaching moment for our lives, for God to reveal what is in our heart and for him to lead us to the place of obedience. And so that brings us to that place of reflecting in our own hearts of staying consistent. I think if you, let's just say for whatever reason, God was deciding to speak, and I don't know if this is the way it works, but let's just say God was like, okay, today's the day I'm going to speak to Cornelius. And Cornelius goes, I've been praying at the ninth hour at 3 p.m. for the last 2 years, and I never hear God. I'm not going to go today. Imagine that was the day that really was his breakthrough moment in his life. And so I hope that we would be continually in prayer in our lives, and that maybe in moments when God might be silent, that maybe hopefully I pray for that for your life, that the moment of you hearing his voice is coming, and that you would be open that to how he speaks to you in your life, and that when the moment comes that he does speak to you and that he is leading you and that he is guiding you, whether he speaks to you completely or just partially, that we would step out in obedience. And I recognize that the hardest step to take is when we don't have the full picture. And for me, and that's why for me, one of my favorite verses and one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Abraham. Whenever I feel God is not showing me enough, but I feel and know that he is calling me into a moment of obedience, I remember that passage in Hebrews where it says, and Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. Sometimes our obedience should not be limited by how much we know, but where our faith is placed in, and that is in God. And so as we go into a time of worship, I want us to look at that. I want to read that verse again, where it says, in verse 3, where it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And I like that, because for me, it's a beautiful affirmation that God sees your prayers and the work that you are doing. And I think sometimes when we've gone in season in our lives where we may feel that God is being silent, or he may be being quiet, we might feel in our hearts, God, do you even see me, or do you even hear me? And I like that. That is a beautiful affirmation towards Cornelius, where he says, your prayers and your arms have ascended into a memorial service before God. And it's a reminder for us today that our prayers and the work that we're doing are seen before God. Even though maybe before our own eyes we feel, God, do you even see us? And so I want to remind you this morning that maybe if you've been praying for things in your life and you've been asking, God, do you even see me? The answer is yes, he sees you and he hears you. And the reason why this is a two-part story and why is this, I've titled this devo, is the role of prayer in tearing down the walls of hostility, is because Cornelius is being prepared by God in this moment to receive a man named Peter, who is a Jew, who is a man completely different. It is the man that he doesn't expect to show up in his life. And sometimes the only thing that can prepare our hearts is surrendering our hearts to God to receive and to position us to receive. And so in this morning, let's reflect on that, on maybe you've struggled with just the minimal instruction that God has given you. And you're saying, God, I want more. I want the full picture. I want the complete picture. But he's simply just saying, he's giving you just simple instructions, nothing else and nothing more. My prayer is that you would obey. So as we go into today's time of prayer, that this moment of prayer is the perfect place for us as we are in a position to receive and to hear from God in our lives.
I
you, Father, that you meet us. Father, I pray that prayer will be a continual part in our lives, because that is where you meet us. That is where we position ourselves to hear and to receive from you. And so, Father, I pray that in our prayer lives, or in doing good works as Cornelius was, that we won't be discouraged when we might think that you're being silent or that you don't see us, but that the story of Cornelius will be a reminder to us that yes, your eyes are on us, and that you do see us, and that you do hear our prayers. And also that when the moments come where we don't get enough of the instruction, but you've given us enough to just take that first step, I pray that we will take that first step, not because we necessarily trust the instruction, but because we trust in who the one is who is leading us and guiding us. And so, Father, we just thank you that prayer would just continually just shape our hearts and our lives to work out the hostilities that we may have in our hearts as well, to arrive to the place where we cannot arrive on our own strength, but where we need you in our lives to be able to do so. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just want to encourage you to read the rest of that story, because I just shared part one from the perspective of Cornelius. And like I said, this is a two-part story with the introduction of Peter, where Peter has to deal with his cultural perspective and his, I don't know if it's racism or his own upbringing, but God deals with him through prayer, through revealing himself to him. And so it's a beautiful story of God bringing two individuals who are apart from each other and who would most likely be enemies, but God, through prayer and revealing himself to them both, and both of them walking out in obedience, brings them together and does a beautiful thing, which is in the kingdom of God. So I would just encourage you to read the rest of that story and look at Peter's side of that story as well. So let's go into our time of prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer and for those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Pray for those that are ill and also in need of salvation. Thank you. pray for those that have infirmities. That are seeking jobs in this season. Prayer and healing ministries. evening outreaches happening. Father, thank you for this morning, as we were able to just be in your presence. Pray that your presence will go with us as we go throughout our day, that you lead us and guide us, and that your favor be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you tomorrow.